Spartans Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission of the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore, actually a lot of lore, along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Oracle mission on the next episode. This episode, we're debriefing the Arbiter from Halo 2. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Wait, why am I a Covenant?
What is this claw thingy going on? What is that? Last mission, after some explosive tank goodness, Master Chief takes down the Scarab that was terrorizing New Mombasa. The Prophet of Regret decides to make an in-atmosphere slipspace jump, but not before Miranda Keys, Sergeant Johnson, and Chief can tail them through the rupture that then levels New Mombasa. This mission, Thel Vadim becomes the Arbiter. The Prophet of Truth and Mercy leverage an ancient Sangheili tradition that appoints a suicide mission to a celebrated warrior. The Arbiter is dispatched to kill a heretical force that started to gain momentum and threatens to expose the Covenant lie. The date of the game is October 20th, 2552, so this is happening this along same time as everything else is going on. You are now an alien. What's going on? It's weird.
So weird.
Why are we originally alien? I'm so confused.
Hated it.
You did?
A lot of people hated it.
Oh,
first.
Yeah. I was on the Arbiter hate bandwagon back in the day. I was like, no, I want to be Chief.
Mm-hmm.
And coming off the last two missions that I really loved, and then the cliffhanger of, like, an amber clad shooting into the same space stream,
yeah,
which I thought was pretty cool, and like I wanted to follow that story. It's kind of jarring now to kind of stop, get the Covenant, get the Arbiter's mission. But like, obviously, in hindsight, everyone loves the Arbiter. Mm-hmm. Now I like the Arbiter. Now I don't like the Arbiter missions still, but I've warmed to controlling him as a character.
Sure, let's talk about the cutscene real quick before we get too much into the mission. So you're essentially, Thel has been disgraced, publicly shamed. He's been branded, and he's being dragged through the jail area from the brutes.
It's a great cutscene.
Yeah, very cool scene. Tartarus and a couple of his buddies are chatting about what they should do with him, and Tartarus, being the lead brute guy, he says that we need to take him right to the prophets, so Truth and Mercy. And Thel essentially, he's naked and he just gets plopped down in front of them. This portion of the cutscene, I love. Well, I mean, throughout, Truth's voice is so good. Good.
Yeah, he is. The actor is amazing. I love his voice.
Michael Wincott is the actor. Look up his stuff.
Ooh.
He is very good. This whole scene is cool. You know, again, probably in retrospect, it's cooler versus when you played it originally. Like, what's going on? Yeah, a lot of good dialogue, good acting here, and the realization that they're essentially asking him to go on a suicide mission because the council has already said the Arbiter, well, Thel, needs to pay the price with his life. They are putting him on a suicide mission, which is essentially the same thing. So they're going to try to go accomplish this or take down this heretic that, well, we know now that 343 was talking to and essentially telling the truth about what the Halo is, and, you know, that you know, the Forerunners and all that stuff. And so the heretic is essentially just telling everybody, hey, you know, the Covenant was a lie. And so the prophets are now, they're saying, okay, Arbiter, your mission is to go stop this guy from essentially exposing us. And here's your cool armor that's old, but still pretty cool. So put on that helmet and let's go.
Let's go.
So let's talk about the Arbiter real quick before we dive into the actual mission. David, do you kind of want to explain what the Arbiter is in Sangheili culture?
So the Arbiter, it's the title that can be, is like supposedly the original Arbiters, let's say, which were part of the Sangheili race. It's a title awarded for like the highest honor that a Sangheili can have. It was formerly pretty much the Hyrax kind of took it over when the Covenant took the, sorry, the formation of the Covenant and the elites were brought in. The Hyrax changed it to be more or less a mark of shame, mm-hmm. as opposed to the original. Now, there is one of the comics, not comics, I'm thinking of, one of the animations, the anime from Halo Legends tells the story of, like, yes, the last Arbiter. And it was really mm-hmm. cool. So that's where kind of the knowledge gets from. So that was an Arbiter about 400 years before the Human Covenant War. He didn't believe in the Great Journey, so he was branded a heretic. So he was stripped of his rank and they killed him. It was a really cool, cool anime. But essentially from then on, the title of Arbiter was given as a mark of shame, and it was used as a way of the kind of hierarchs to label an enemy or a political enemy that they didn't like, give them the title of Arbiter and send them away on a suicide mission. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was a way of kind of culling the ranks from any kind of upcoming or rebellious natures that of the any Sinhili could have.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is weird how they twisted it, but I mean, it makes sense, right? If you're the hierarchs, if totally. You're the Sanchai, I mean, you're trying to maintain your place, you know, at the highest part of the hierarchy. It would make sense to do whatever you can to stop those traditions that could threaten you and could cause a revolt, could cause the takeover, could cause the exposure of the lie.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I feel like Theo was chosen for this just because of how much of an asset he's been to the Covenant.
That too.
They're like, we still have a lot of stuff for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You just happen to have a death sentence, so what we're going to do is just give you the title of Arbiter, which already means a death sentence. But mm-hmm. this means you can do our bidding further and just,
for
just
a bit
get
longer.
Some stuff done. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, exactly. All right, so now we're an alien. Now we're Thel. We have our energy sword. That's right.
Feels so good to wield one of those.
Yeah. So we haven't had that yet, right? We haven't had the opportunity.
We had him in Halo Reach. No,
if
we're playing
in the previous mission, the Ultra Elite inside the Scarab would pull a sword on you, and so you could kill him and pick it up then.
Oh,
if you wanted.
Okay.
To.
But usually by the time you kill him, you're already done. The Scarab's gone. Cutscene starts.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the first time you've actually got to wield it, and so you're wielding it. And that's actually pretty interesting thinking about it now, is they're introducing that mechanic as the Covenant. So you're playing as the Covenant, who, you know, that's kind of one of their staple weapons.
Well, it's actually a ceremonial weapon. It's actually a badge of honor. Like, only the highest ranking elites can actually wield an energy sword.
Mm. Right. Yeah, that is cool. Do you guys use the stealth mechanic at all? I'm forgetting what it's called.
A little
right now.
Bit.
I try to. It's really, really short.
Yeah, it doesn't last
almost
long
uselessly
enough.
Short. But you can be clever with it. I did like the first section of this all in stealth, mm-hmm. Which was pretty cool. So like you can hide behind things, wait for it to recharge, use it, run out, kill enemies. And it is pretty funny when you have the energy sword on and you're
right.
stealthed and nobody sees this glowing sword moving towards them. But it's funny.
They do explain away essentially why your camo.
Yeah, that's which is funny, and I guess makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Arbiter armor we actually see. We haven't really talked about Halo Wars at all, but it's the exact same armor that another Arbiter was wearing. So it is an ancient suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not upgraded at all. Why upgrade an armor that?
Yeah.
Whoever's wearing it's just gonna die anyway.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. One thing we did skip over really quickly, so they do show the Arbiter and the Shipmaster, so Urtas Vadim.
Oh, right? Yeah. The intro cutscene is so cool mm-hmm. as well. But he totally introduced this other badass elite who we'll come to know and love
as the
in
Shipmaster.
The extended lore.
Mm-hmm.
He's
the half-jaw. We mentioned him before. He was in the comics. So after, I think, released in 2006, I mentioned it in one of the previous episodes. So the Halo graphic novel explains how he lost kind of those two mandibles, and I think they probably did that originally just to make him a little bit more recognizable. Because right now,
all
of the elites are just kind of walking, you know, aliens in armor.
They all look the same.
Well, yeah.
It's racist. Damn
it. But yeah, so he's cool, and we get to see a little bit more of him, which is great. He's got a good character, and I like how he says essentially, like, I don't care about you, even though there is history. Like Thel was this highly recognized warrior. He was the fleet master, but now he's essentially nothing, and that switch has flipped for everyone, and Urtas is treating him as just this garbage person that they all have kind of labeled him as.
I mean, that's kind of what the whole shaming at the beginning of the game was. Mm-hmm. He's not considered brothers to anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when he receives the Mark of Shame and is given the rank of Arbiter, he's almost stripped of his first name and his last name. He's stripped from his family lineage and stuff like that because of how shameful his actions were.
Right.
But it's also cool to note that I liked that even at the end of that conversation, Urtas does have a measure of respect for him with how he responds. So I thought that was cool.
Yep.
You can see the relationship being built there. Yeah.
When they drop you off originally, he also has this cool line, "We are the arm of the prophets, and you are their blade." Very good line. So yeah, we have our energy sword and our active camo, and it's time to slice up the heretics. So this is the mining facility, right? This is the mining facility.
Yeah. Go ahead. So this is the mining facility we see at the secret terminal at mm-hmm. the end of Halo CE. If you did the Halo waypoint stuff, it is right. It is on the gas giant that we see all through Halo 1 every time we look up in the sky,
mm-hmm. which is called Threshold, I believe.
Yes.
Yep. That's right.
So this is a Forerunner mining facility that mines the gas and I think creates power.
Mm-hmm. And so if that time, the time, I think you updated that time, so it's October 20th. So it has been a month since, well, about a month since 343 escaped the Halo, and he's been talking to these people and telling the truth. So they have had, they're kind of stationed there, and they've had a little bit of an opportunity to, I don't know, preach the truth, I guess. And that has then... The prophets have caught wind of that, and that's why we're on this mission now. So it does make sense. Like, they're still stationed there. They decided just to stay put and then start to try to get people to turn, you know, shine the light on the lie. And that's why we're going on this mission. One of the first things I remember is picking up that carbine.
Yes! Love the carbine.
Definitely carbine.
Mm-hmm.
That is carbine. Carbine's a good pretty gun. Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
This is the first time. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. First time. This is the first time in Halo 2 we've seen the carbine.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
And we haven't
in
seen
Halo
it in
CE.
Halo Reach. Yeah.
So this is like, oh, I love this. It feels like home.
Oh, it's such a good gun.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure
it's
if I was
Covenant by BR.
If I shouldn't have been cool. using it. If it was like a noob move to pick up the carbine, because I've always loved this thing.
Well, it's almost like it's the Covenant version of the BR. It's that mm-hmm. you know yeah, all totally. Around good gun that can do headshots, body shots, whatever.
Yeah.
Rapid fire Rapid and accurate, fire.
So
beautiful.
Good. Yeah, yep. Feels like home. You have so you're in this mining facility. There's conveyor belts, you know, with stuff on it, and so you're kind of you're dealing with that as you're trying to advance down through this mission. Do you guys know anything about the way that these elites are dressed? It's just maybe like mining gear or something.
So
like
yeah,
that?
It's not actually armor. It's actually just more practical, like breathing apparatuses and stuff like that for the mm-hmm. mining facility. So that's why they don't look like they're not dressed like that because they are heretics. They were dressed like that before. It's more working clothes than armor.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, right. I like how they did that.
Well, also, it would be really confusing if they were all dressed in armor when you have...
Yeah, I'm sure that's why they did it,
when
too.
You have Covenant friends around you. Because I'm shooting my friends all the time. I'm like, oh, shit, a grunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, oops.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
my friend.
All the time.
Are they... So, do they... Does your buddies make it through with you no matter what? Or do they die off?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, they're a normal. You can get them through for quite a bit.
But they will die off otherwise on the harder...
Oh, they'll die, like, okay. Yeah. They're not... invincible, other than half jaw, I'd say the rest of them are.
So we talked about briefly about the I'm sorry, I'm jumping around a lot, so forgive me. We talked briefly about kind of what the elites are wearing here. I didn't mention on the original cutscene the honor guard, the elite honor guard is awesome.
Oh,
and we'll talk about that more.
Ceremonial.
Yeah.
The same as the honor guard is super cool. And we'll see more of that later, but those unis are great. All right, so now we essentially just kind of descend down towards the bottom. Is there anything that you guys want to talk about specifically as we're kind of going down? It's just
Sentinels.
Sentinels,
that's
yay!
Right. Sentinels are here. That's right.
They pew 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 at you.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. You get the beam, right?
Yeah, but don't ever pick
the
that up ever.
Useless.
Yeah.
Useless.
I was trying to use that thing, and it just kind of splattered them in the face, and it was like spraying them with water. They're just like,
yep.
Ugh.
Get yeah, out you got a water gun.
It's not a fun weapon.
Here, look at my super soaker.
Yeah, not that useful at all. Yeah, I think I just did carbine. What was my other gun? I guess I probably just, I think I just kept the sword. Yeah,
sword,
you
yeah.
Pick up some
yeah,
swords.
I try to keep the sword as much as possible. Mm-hmm.
And they have a couple others but, that you can switch out with as well.
I like jewel wielding needlers.
Oh,
that's real fun.
Yeah, that's true.
Pink flamethrower.
Yes, it's real fun. I like it a lot. There's also one or two instances where like there's like a stationary turret and stuff like that. Those are kind of fun.
Oh,
see
that's
them
right.
In certain
yep.
places in this mm-hmm. map.
Yeah, and this place, I mean, this is kind of just a dark, dreary area in general. You go down an elevator at one point, and then you kind of keep going, kind of winding around.
Yeah. You open up a button to bring in reinforcements mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah, that button part
it's
is
cool.
Where the Phantom comes in. I definitely
yeah.
thought that was
so Tartarus and Haftar are talking to you throughout the map in terms of directing you and commenting and things you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely shot at that Phantom, though. I thought that was a bad guy Phantom. It's like chucking grenades at it. Oops, I guess that's on the good
Oops,
side.
Oops, that's my friend. Oops.
It will. So
happens a lot in this map.
What's that?
It happens a lot in
yeah.
this map.
Well,
that's true.
The friendly fire is really, really forgiving because, you know, in most instances, they'll turn on you and shoot at you and kill you pretty fast, especially when you're Master Chief shooting people. But for this, I find that if you shoot a couple grunts, like, none of them care. You're like, ah, whatever.
Well, they're grunts anyway.
Oh, per grunts. Yes.
They are.
Yeah.
So the very kind of at the bottom there. So there is a room. I guess let's talk about the terminal. So you guys will have to describe the terminal. I missed it again. Where did we find the terminal?
So it's right after that room with where you let in the Phantom. You go down a little bit more, and it's kind of a long rectangular room, and there's some platforms above you that you can get up to, and it's mm-hmm. up on those catwalks that you find the terminal, and it's like the terminal that you find on Mission 2 of Halo 1. It's that, like, it kind of juts up, it's like long and skinny, and then it has a little panel at the top.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like a holograph. Yeah. The whole thing looks like a holographic kind of interface.
Yeah.
I just stumbled upon it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
It's not super obvious the way the other ones are, with big flashy incoming message signs on
yeah.
them.
Yeah. But if you recognize the terminals from Halo 1, Halo CEA, you'll probably recognize this one. So all it is, it's just a rehash of the secret cutscene from Halo CE. Guilty Spark escapes the ring, talks to the leader of the heretical group, but that isn't that haven't become heretics yet, but he just explains, hey, my ring was a weapon, why do you guys keep calling it a temple, it's supposed mm-hmm. to kill everything and stuff like that, and he's like, shut down all communications, let's talk to this oracle, and that's the origin of where these guys came from and how they learned of the truth of Halo and that the prophets were lying. So I mean, it's just a rehash of that.
Yeah.
Nothing too special.
Yeah, but I think it is a good reminder, you know, if you're playing through this, you know, quickly or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, that you know, they do, everything does connect. It all does make sense, even though sometimes, you know, they throw a lot at you. You know, 343 escaped. We've known that because we're playing through chronologically. It's probably fun to see 343 again if you're playing Halo 2. Like, oh, I remember him. That quippy guy that everybody hates, but Colin and Crystal like.
He's so cute.
He's so cute.
So before we get to the Banshee part, is there? I mean, most of the encounters are just kind of blah, right? It's just grunts.
Oh, it's
and
just
elites.
You know, it's
yeah, it's a regular corridor yeah. shooter at this stage.
I think it's literally just kind of teaching you how to play Arbiter because, like, he handles pretty much the same as Master Chief, but there's some subtle differences. I think he has a longer stride and stuff like that, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And the weapon loadouts available yeah. is also one of the reasons why I don't like. I heavily favor UNSC weapons.
Yeah.
So when you're forced to use Covenant. It's kind of like, cool.
Well, it wouldn't make sense for you and SC weapons to be on this facility.
It doesn't
though.
Make any sense. I know. Yeah. I know. But they even look weird when you, later on in the game, when you pick up UNSC weapons and you see, like, the Arbiter's hand on a BR. It's like, oh, it's so wrong.
Oh, sure.
But it's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
I mean, in the heat of battle, you would pick up whatever's available to
That's
you.
That's true.
I think it's interesting to see, if you do see a third-person shot of, or I guess maybe one of the Marines holding a Covenant weapon, like, how big they are.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
The plasma rifle doesn't look huge kind of when it's in that first person build, but when you see it, somebody else holding it, it's giant. So is the Needler. They're huge.
Well, it's because the...
Yeah, that's true, actually.
The Sangheili have, like, clunkier hands as well, and, I mean, these Covenant weapons have to be able to be wielded by a bunch of different races, mm-hmm. so...
Yeah, they just have three fingers,
and
right?
The Spartans are way bigger than...
Yeah,
humans,
yeah,
so.
They have two and then a thumb.
Yeah.
Or is it three fingers and one thumb?
I think it's three fingers and one thumb.
And they have clip-clops. They have big clip-clop
feet. Clippy-clops.
If you listen, his feet actually make, like, clip-clop sounds.
That's oh, do they?
Funny. Yeah. Like hooves? Just kind of how the footfalls sound. It's kind of clip-cloppy.
Clippity-cloppity. And then you can also see the feet. Oh, I guess it's a good transition to the Banshees. You can see their feet dangling out of the Banshees, which is great.
Yeah, I like that.
So you get to the bottom and you see the heretic. I think that is the heretic that hops in.
Yeah, he's in red.
It's the leader, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He hops in a Banshee and essentially says, "Yo, bros, protect me." And he takes off. You clear his bros, take them all out, and then hop in a Banshee yourself. And then the Banshees, the style of them is different than what we've seen.
Yeah, they seem almost downtrodden.
They're utilitarian.
And kind of like rustic.
They're not.
Yeah, yeah, very much. I get the impression this place is not very well supplied. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're like kind of patchwork almost.
Well, also since they seceded from the Covenant, they're probably not getting supply drops anymore either.
Yeah, that's true.
That too. Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're different looking Banshees, but they do all the fun stuff. So you got your plasma cannons, and you got the Banshee bomb, I think they refer to it as, when they pop it on.
Yeah.
So you got those two. You can roll, and you can do speed burst. So they're fun to fly around, and there's a big area here that you get to essentially just go. You follow around the Phantom and just, you know, clear out the areas as you're getting towards where the Heretic eventually is. The music. Did you guys notice the music? Because it's great.
Yeah, so there was some licensing problems with some of the original, because Halo 2 had a lot of, they licensed out a lot of music for it, so like a bunch of different bands had covers in it, so some of the music will be different if you've played the original Halo, and if you want to listen to the original music from Halo, you can just hit the back button and the music will change, which is really cool. Yeah, so... This song is brand new to the series and stuff like that. They couldn't get the licensing deal. It's weird. They couldn't get a licensing deal for the remaster, but they could still use it for the old game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how that worked out, but... There's
some weird legal language going on, I'm sure.
Yeah, but this song is a band cover. Like, a band made this for them or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So it's not actually, like, by the composer himself.
Gotcha. I like it.
But it's still really
like
cool.
Yeah, it like ramps up and that guitar just thrashes. It's really good once you kind of get towards the end of it. Real good. The Grunt birthday skull is somewhere in here. I forgot to get it again.
Best skull.
But you essentially fly around somewhere and get the skull. It just shows you how hard these skulls are to get in these missions.
Halo 2 was pretty brutal with the skulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So you just have to do lots of exploring. But again, look up a guide for that so you can go... I mean, it's worth it to get the Grunt Birthday Skull. It's a lot of fun. But did you guys say you can turn them on and off no matter what in this game?
You automatically start with all the skulls. It's just kind of a collecting thing to get the achievements.
Just the achievement then, yeah.
Achievements!
Achievements are fun. We love achievements. Although I don't get them as much anymore. But anyway, that's a different discussion. David Arnold still gets them.
Oh my god, David, stop, please. You're making us all look bad. I'll give you the I'll give you my login information
again,
and you can get some of my achievements.
No. Well, someday I might log in as Podcast Evolved and actually get those, because there's probably a ton sitting in there for Master Chief and stuff. Easy ones. When I need that hit, when I need that sound, that sweet, sweet sound.
Do you like the new sound, by the way? That rare sound?
I love the new sound.
I love the rare sound.
Also, my PC pops them as well, so I get like double pops. It's amazing. I love it.
I hate you.
It's like the best thing ever. So, yeah.
Yeah, mine does too.
I love cheese.
Feels good. Feels real good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, put your dicks away. We got to keep going.
Chris Brown.
All right, so do some Banshee. Have some fun here, flying around the Banshees, taking out other Banshees, taking out the turrets that are there. You could probably drop down onto the platforms if you really want to and go, hand-to-hand combat. But
I do that sometimes, but you don't need to. You can fly straight. If you can find it, you can fly straight to the area where you need to drop off.
Mm.
So you don't have to fight all these guys.
There was some confusion by me playing again. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to follow the Phantom or the Phantom was following me. So it took me a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I got to go follow where this guy goes. All right. Sounds good.
So the Banshee has some new controls, which is kind of cool and fun to know. You can do some aerobatics in this, holding down A and a direction on the stick, and your ship will roll and flip and stuff. They're slow, but they're kind of fun to do sometimes still.
And they do hover in this one, right? I didn't notice, because in the CE, they kind of slowly fall back.
Yeah, no, they hover. They straight up hover in this game.
Which is way better. But yeah, I really like, I like the Banshees. Banshees were always the thing when I was trying to get up to speed, I always liked. But I've never been really good at the Banshees, but it's something that I want to perfect. Let's go.
Yeah, Banshees are fun. Banshees.
Super powerful.
Banshee levels. Best levels.
Mm-hmm. So we get to the end, we just have to clear our little zone, you hop out and then go into a door, and then it's it. We don't do a cutscene. Cutscene's next mission.
Rolls into the next mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this mission really ends really abruptly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think part time was 15 minutes, so you can fly through it pretty quickly. You essentially just have to sprint for that Banshee and get there.
Yeah.
Yay!
That's the mission. So terminal, we already talked about. Yep, we already talked about the terminal. I guess we kind of sprinkled in a couple other interesting trivia bits, but yeah,
I got some
missions. Cool. It's like I like being the Arbiter, but the individual encounters aren't that interesting. But like the set piece is cool, and the fact that you are now the Arbiter is cool.
I feel like this mission is just kind of getting you used to playing a different race,
because
it comes out of the blue, like. What you expect from a Halo game, like from CE, this is not anything like Halo CE at all. It's just, you are a Covenant now. You're an Elite. Isn't that interesting? And I think it threw a lot of people off guard when the game first came out, and I know a lot of people were mad.
Yeah.
Totally. I've gotten over it with time.
I love it.
Well, they have that initial cutscene where you become the Arbiter, and you... At least I took that originally as, okay, the world is doing the flip-flop, right? Okay, they're doing another flip-flop. And then the cutscene immediately after that is like, okay, we're actually in the dropship, and maybe what's going on? And then you actually drop down and you are the Arbiter. So it is kind of an interesting, I don't know, it's not playing emotion, but it's just kind of realization, like, oh, they're actually going to do this. I'm actually going to play this guy now.
And I think it's interesting because this game really fleshes out the Covenant. Because the Covenant were just aliens in the original Halo. And now you actually get to see them, like, how the different races, their political structure, how they treat their underlings, where the Covenant headquarters are, which is later in the game. But we've kind of seen glimpses of it from the Covenant cutscenes so far. But,
you get a good bit of it at the intro. Yeah.
Well, when Arbiter becomes Arbiter and leaves to go to the gas planet, you get to see the silhouette of High Charity, but we're not ready to talk about that just yet.
Yeah, but I think, one of the criticisms of Halo in general is there is so much lore, there's so much extended lore, but they did a good job of telling everyone enough information in Halo 2 so that it did make sense what was going on. And a lot of what we know about the Covenant is from Halo 2 specifically.
And I mean, it's Halo 2 is great because it piques your interest and encourages you to go look it up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of it is vague, but understandable when you're first playing the game, but then you start asking questions and you're like, where can I find answers to these questions?
Right. Well, the Mercy, I think at the very beginning, he talks about the Arbiter and how the Arbiter helped overcome the Grunt Rebellion and the Taming of the Hunters.
Which I found fascinating. Also find fascinating.
Yeah.
So it's like, just those two little lines of dialogue. Like, I'm like, ooh,
right.
Tell me
and
about
we
those.
Know more about that stuff now, which is cool.
Yeah, we know a lot right. about it. I don't think, is there a book that actually covers both of those events? Is that Broken Circle?
No, not directly.
Okay. Yeah.
They talk We've about never, it.
All we have is indirect knowledge. Okay.
But we have a lot of it for those two events specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the wiki pages are actually pretty substantial.
Yeah, they're cool. What I will say at this point is some cool trivia about this mission. When this, I didn't hear this, but apparently there's a Spec Ops grunt that says, "Shh, me hunting heretic." And it's making a reference to the Looney Tunes, where it's like, "Shh, we're very quiet, we're hunting That's rabbits." Good. So that was funny. During the starting cutscene, if you have subtitles enabled, there's a deleted line of dialogue that was never spoken, but is still in the subtitles. And it reads, "Scrape them as excrement from our boots."
Oh.
So I thought that was cool. And the Hurtos says that. This level has more fuel rod guns than any other level in the
game. Yeah,
so that's
I couldn't
crazy.
Believe that.
Yeah. Originally, this level was supposed to take place on Threshold's moon basis, but it actually obviously became its own thing.
Okay.
Joseph Staten revealed in Halo 3 Vidoc, Legendary Edition bonuses, blah, blah, blah. Originally, the heretics, including the heretic leader, were all going to be hunters.
Ooh.
But I thought it was fascinating.
That would have been difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine what that would have been like? The level's working title was the Alpha Gas Giant, which I thought was funny and interesting. There you go, guys. But imagine that, all hunters.
Yeah.
All that hunter dialogue, it would have been crazy.
Hunter dialogue, question mark.
There's a lot of stuff from the Halo 2, like the original making of the Halo 2 and then the remake of the Halo 2. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's fun to go back and watch. Joseph Staten is good. He's really good. You know, he established this lore. And it's fun to kind of see how his mind works and like how he just knows, you know, he essentially helped if he wrote it. Obviously, he was a big contributor of the Halo Bible. So like he kind of created this world, and it's interesting to hear him talk about it and just see what he says and little quips that he has about the universe along the way.
Good stuff. Lore,
good
lots
stuff.
Of lore.
Lore stuff. Alright, lore heavy. Let's talk quick community, see how other people felt about being the Arbiter.
So, as we know, Colin Perkins, that guy, has posted and says, "You are now the Arbiter in Halo 2. How does that make you feel?" So, controversial at the time, and probably still a little bit now, but I think people have quieted down on it, really. Ian Francis, first in there with taller.
Yeah, Ian.
Okay.
It's true.
But I think Master Chief and the Arbiter are like equal heights.
Arbiter's a bit taller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now I'm flashing back to the Halo 3 cutscene where John like reaches up.
Don't quit spoiling.
Or they go
hey,
back
you quit
to
spoiling stuff. Come on.
Sorry.
Or they go
sorry,
back to
sorry.
Back in that one scene.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Anyway, there's some pretty wordy comments in here. So all the guys pretty much have very well said how I feel now when I didn't feel back then. In terms of playing as enemy is legendarily controversial back in the day. This is from Spencer Gibbons. Playing the Arbiter Thel was the best part of Halo 2's campaign, in his opinion. Of the two main characters we play as, he's the best character development, being more relatable and down to earth than Chief at times, which is quite interesting.
I'd agree with that.
Quite
though.
Accurate, I think. Yeah. Not to mention fighting alongside various races, but in the Covenant proved a fun change of pace gameplay wise. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't know many games that do that have you flip. Fighting two sides, but it's pretty cool. It is mm-hmm. a cool mechanic now that I didn't really appreciate back then.
Yeah.
Brian Bick says again, I'm sure it pays okay. I'm sure it pays nothing.
Right. Just
as
life.
The Arbiter, but anyway. Pat O'Connell says, "What would you have your Arbiter do?" So he's obviously an Arbiter lover. Brad Tharp, "Them ties." But seriously, when I first played Halo 2, I was both first annoyed at the left chief in the cliffhanger, but the same, but was also curious to find out more about this powerful ignite force that we've been fighting. Halo CE just throws you into the middle of a great war, next to nothing about, and then even the elite's dialogue in CE is nothing but Sergeant Johnson's lines played backwards.
Is that
pretty
is
funny?
That
really?
I don't know.
Maybe no that's from way. The, I don't know that's, the documentary. Hmm. Who knows?
That's a cool little thing. If it is true, I must look that up. The Chancellor mourning about the Covenant is very exciting, which I agree. This is why when these kind of solid points, learning more about them when you play as them, it's pretty cool. Even just see the dynamics of how the various races interact and all, it's pretty cool. And Christos says, "I feel elite."
Yeah.
A good mix up at the time, and to ask no one wants to play Halo and not be Chief. Levels weren't really highly impressive. I agree. And I like MSC has a separate playlist. I also really like that. So you can just play as Arbiter or just play straight through as Chief. Chief is obviously the best playthrough. But the side story was epic, chasing a non-believer and then on the alien side. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I do agree. Jesse thought it was awesome, but you know, he gets his fair share of hate, but he really dug it. And that's it. That's so all positive for Thel, really.
For the most part, that's good.
With the recognition that it was not fun back in the
day. Good job, Theo. Thel.
Thel. Thel, Vadim, whatever. It's the Arbiter for now.
The Arbiter now.
All right, that will do it for our debriefing of the Arbiter mission from Halo 2. On the next episode, we will be covering the Oracle. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved?
Evolved.
Isn't Oracle what they called 343?
Hmm.